the left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Yell. Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
It is Thursday, July 3rd. Welcome to the 2025 Calgary Stampede, and welcome to this hour of Flames Talk. Steinberg, Aaron Vickers, along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe, with wireless keypad solutions so you can control access to your home wherever you are. For more information, visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Hi, Vix.
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
Not much. Happy Stampede.
You too.
And let's wish Happy Stampede to our next guest. Say hello to our friend Megan Mickelson, the color voice of the Calgary Flames, joins us on Flames Talk on the Sports Drive as well. Happy Stampede, Mick. How are you?
Is it Stampede time already again?
I know.
Get the boots.
Oh, boy. I'm leaving town.
We'll see if we can get you and RJ down again and find somebody to mansplain hockey to you again.
Yeah, very entertaining.
If it wasn't,
that's why I leave town.
if it wasn't, like, I was just, I, like, you know, it's Mick, so Mick can take care of herself more than most human beings. But I was just sitting there watching this and watching the gears in Mick's brain. I'm like, how's this going to go as this continues? Was one of the most cringeworthy, entertaining things I've ever seen in my life. How are you, friend? How we doing?
Yeah, no, I'm doing good. I was just listening to you guys driving home with your chat with Andrew Bascha, and I was thinking about, it was kind of ironic. He's chatting about, you know, his injury and coming back from that and you know, all the work that he put in and everything. And I'm like, I've been retired for a year and a half now, and I'm driving home right now from treatment, still trying to put my body back together.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of funny, but yeah, overall doing good though.
Well, it's good to hear. You know, I'm curious. I think at one point earlier this summer with you, we talked a little bit about Morgan Frost. We spoke to him last hour on the program. Signs a 2-year extension officially on this Thursday. 2 years, $4.375 million. Now has 2 years to really kind of up his stock and prove what he is as a member of the Flames and prove that he should be a long-term member of the Calgary Flames. I know that you were a big fan at times of the way he played, mm-hmm. and a big fan at times of what he brought to the team. So, Mick, what do we need to see from Morgan Frost this season for him to really up his stock going forward as a member of the Flames?
Yeah, I think, you know, first of all, when I saw that contract, I like the term. You know, I think 2 years is absolutely perfect for him just right now. And considering, I mean, obviously it's not where he wants to be in his career. You want to be signing a longer term contract at this point. But, you know, just considering his time in Philadelphia, the season he had last year, the struggles he had with scoring. I mean, here's 2 years to, you know, show everyone kind of what you can do. And for me, there was no doubt over the course of the season, like the skill and the raw talent, it's there. One thing I love about his game is his creativity and his willingness to take risks. You know, I think that sometimes there's players and guys who try to play a little bit too safe. He's definitely not one of those guys. He's willing to be creative out there, to try to make plays, to be elusive, very dynamic, especially in his ability to transport the puck through the neutral zone. You know, I think for him, one of the biggest things, obviously, you know, there's the goal scoring. You know, I think he was really snake bitten towards the end of the year. Him and I had some pretty funny conversations just about that and how much that was on his mind and bothering him. But, you know, to me, it's also balancing out that, you know, the risk and reward. And I think that's something that he, you know, sort of struggled with was, the turnovers in, you know, areas where you don't want to be turning the puck over as a centerman. So, you know, that's especially at your own blue line or at the other team's blue line. And I think that for him, that's a big area of his game that he needs to work on, is making sure that, you know, you keep that creativity, the willingness to make plays, but making sure that you're limiting, you can't completely eliminate turning the puck over, I don't think, especially as a centerman and especially in the NHL nowadays, but really just trying to limit that for him. So balancing out that risk and reward, you know, he was good in the faceoff circle for the most part, I thought. But I think it's just, you know, from a defensive standpoint as a centerman, that's something that, you know, I know he was working on it towards the end of the season. It was, you know, before the last home game, and I can't remember how many games he went without scoring. Vix, you probably know, you're the master of stats.
Putting me on the spot like that.
I won't put you on the spot. But I mean, you know, I chatted with him just about how, you know, I asked him straight up, like, does this bother you that you're not scoring? And, you know, tonight, are you really bearing down? Try to put one in the back of the net. And he said, I'm more focused on dialing in the defensive side of the game and not turning the puck over. So, you know, in saying that, you know, that was kind of my analysis of his game, but it's also something that he's highly aware of. So, you know, if there's two things that I could really pinpoint for him to nail down, is just that little bit of extra finish on the opportunities that he very clearly was getting towards the end of the season. And then just making sure that he's being responsible as a centerman from a defensive standpoint. But I think, I mean, as a player, he's got a ton of upside. I have to remember that it takes time to adjust to systems, a new team, and all of that. So now he has 2 years to really prove what he can do.
25 games.
And
I did not have that off the top of my head. You just stalled long enough for me to get it. Scored
Boom.
February 8th and then scored again the penultimate game of the regular season, to steal a Pat Steinbergism, on April 15th. Yeah, I think from my perspective, love the term for both the team and the player. From the team, it's low risk. From the player, it doesn't tie him up long term if and when he finds that consistency. Because to me, it's the consistency sort of shift in, shift out, not necessarily game in, game out, because he would show flashes to me in sort of every game, but that's kind of what was left. It was a flash here, it was a flash there. And if he's able to find some consistency offensively while still working on taking strides in the defensive zone, that's the key for me. But from a player, I like that he's betting on himself with a 2-year term. And from the team, if he doesn't show those flashes and make them more consistent, then you're not tied into a long-term deal there as well. You're not necessarily concerned with the dollar value at this point for the Flames, because they have so much cap space and room to play with. But it's a good term from my perspective, looking at the team side and looking at the player side.
Well, and the other thing that, and it kind of all ties into what you both have said so far, but, you know, for me, throughout his 32 games here, he looked tentative at times. And I think, now that he's got the contract, now that he's going to come to training camp knowing he's a member of the Calgary Flames and knowing that they want him to prove to them that he can be a long-term member of this team, and he wants to be a long-term member of the team, it just feels like it's more conducive to him being comfortable. And once you're comfortable, I feel like maybe, and you'd know this better than anyone, Mick, but like once you're comfortable, I feel like in any walk of life, you are a little bit more tentative and you can start to be a little bit more settled where your feet are. And once you're settled, then you're a whole lot more comfortable to be who you are on or off the ice. And so I wonder if him having the contract, having the motivation, and knowing now that he's got 32 games with this group under his belt, but he comes to training camp and knows he's going to be a Flame for an entire season, plus very little turnover from year over year, it looks like, I just wonder if there's a little bit more of a better atmosphere, better climate for him to be comfortable. And I'm really curious what a comfortable, settled Morgan Frost can be with this team as well.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you know, Wilsey and I traveling with the team and just kind of seeing the dynamic of the group, you know, something that was very obvious to me was how well he fit in with the team. So, you know, I think that, you know, plays an important part as well. When you feel you know, not only comfortable in the locker room, but on the ice. I think to me, you know, from what we saw or what I saw anyways, like he looks like he's very comfortable around the team and that he fit in really, really well. I think, you know, it's another thing to really feel like you're comfortable on the ice. And, I think that's maybe why he was turning the puck over, you know, when he was. It's like, yes, that creativity and willingness to make plays is there. But if there's like a split second of hesitation, that's when you get yourself into trouble. So that the question, you know, and that sort of thing. So I do think that that level of comfort and, you know, more so, you know, on the ice and with systems, you know, having that, I guess, level of comfortability that you can play free, that you can play your game without that, you know, little bit of second guessing and hesitation. I think that that could be really big for him too.
We're chatting with Megan Mickelson. She joins us once a week, the color voice of the Flames here on Flames Talk. The other, since we last spoke, Mick, the other name that has signed is Kevin Ball. And his extension, 6 years that he signs over the weekend with the Flames. And it always felt like a long-term extension was going to be the way it was going to go with Ball, because they know what he is, and that they feel like they can project what he is next season and 3 years down the road a little bit more than they can. Different position, but still a little bit more than they can with a player like Frost. And so it feels like a six-year extension. Just it's a nice fit for the organization and clearly for the player, because, hey, Kevin Ball showed that he can be a good stay-at-home left-side defenseman who can play in your top four last year. And There's nothing to suggest that won't be what he continues to do, right?
Yeah, and I was a big fan of his all year long. I mean, I don't think it's any secret that I'm a big fan of any defenseman who's responsible in their own end. But he's, I mean, for a 25-year-old guy, like, I mean, he's still so young, and you think about how strong his defensive game is for a defenseman. And for a lot of guys, you know, trying to get into the league, that's an area of their game, you know, positioning, body positioning, physicality, timing, you know, your gap control, surfing up, you know, all of those things that, you know, really strengthen your defensive game as a young defenseman. Those are areas of his game that he's already, you know, really well, like, he's obviously worked on it a ton, and he's extremely strong in those areas. So I think that's, you know, one of the most promising things for me is just where he's at right now, given his age. And for the majority of the season, he led the NHL in, he was number one in stick checks in the league. And that's not a, you know, an insignificant stat in my mind, that, you know, it speaks to how well you're checking. And yeah, he's not laying guys out in the middle of the ice all the time, but, you know, he's taken away time and space and uses his stick very effectively. That's one of the most underrated skills of defensemen is, you know, being able to have a really good stick, and he has that, and that's one of the biggest strengths of his game. You know, I do think that over the course of last season, there was times where, you know, he did dip a little bit, but I think that, you know, that's a young player that's, you know, finding their way in playing a top four, you know, even top two role at times in the NHL. But to me, his ceiling is, it's a lot higher than where it is right now. Mm-hmm. He's also, like, quietly, he was, to me, it looked like his offensive game, and not like crazy offense, like not a Zane Parekh or a Mackenzie Wieger or anything like that, but just his willingness to carry the puck, but also, you know, jump down off the blue line in the offensive zone, his shot selection off the blue line as well. That's something that was an area of his game that, you know, I thought that he was quietly really strong at. It's nothing, you know, crazy, nothing flashy, but from an offensive standpoint, he wasn't afraid to try to, you know, play the game a little bit that way as well. So I love this contract. I love him as a player, really nice guy, but it shows, I mean, the team's commitment to him, but also, you know, his commitment to the team and to the city. And one of the biggest things that stood out to me was watching him and his interview with Brendan Parker right after he signed his contract. And you could just see how excited he was, you know, to sign such a long-term big deal. So I think that, you know, him showing that commitment, you know, to this team, to this city, I think that that's massive as well. And he's going to be a big part of this blue line.
Yeah, you're getting a top four defenseman, as he proved this season, that had literally just turned 25 a week ago, if my math is correct. With a rising cap, you're getting him through his prime years at 5.35. I don't know necessarily what the cap is going to rise to, and I don't know what the new market in 1, 2, 3 years is going to be for a top four defenseman, but locking somebody up through their 20s at a 5.35 rate that has proven he can already play top 4 minutes, playing over 21 minutes a night for the Flames last year, no brainer from my perspective.
Yeah, he just projects to be a real important cog on your left side. And you know, it was no coincidence, Mick, that it was him and Zane Parekh paired up in game 82 in Los Angeles. And I'm not suggesting that means it's going to be that way for the next decade or anything like that, but the way Ball plays is a really good fit with a player like Zane Parekh, a player like Rasmus Anderson. He's just a really nice, steady partner to have. And I think that's such an important thing for this group with some of the skill they have on the right side going forward.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's obviously a very exciting pair to watch and to have watched. And I think it shows, you know, the commitment and, you know, the plan that management has in place. And should be exciting for the city, too.
Yeah. Last one for you. And I'm just going to let you take the floor on this one, because I think, well, Vix and I have flapped our gums quite a bit on the class of 2025. I know you were listening to plenty of it over the weekend as well. And you and I were keeping tabs throughout the first and second days of the NHL draft. But I know you were really intrigued as well by the selections of Cole Reshny and Cullen Potter, who I know you've got some family familiarity with as well. But two centers selected in the first round, 18th and 32nd overall by the Flames. I know that really caught your eye as well.
Yeah, well, first of all, I you guys did an amazing job. So I know that I sent you a text and I pumped both of your tires. But, you know, I thought you guys were absolutely outstanding throughout the entire draft. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about both of these players. It sounds like a lot of people are really excited about both of these players. But, you know, I think that, you know, one of the guys, you know, that I've been really close with over the course of my career. I mean, I've trained with him and I know him really well. And that's Cole Reshny's trainer, Adam Huxley. And, you know, he works with him very, very closely, trains him off the ice and on the ice as well. And, you know, I texted him right away pretty much. And his response to me was, the Flames are getting the best 200-foot player in the draft. So I thought that was, you know, a really significant statement from him, and just, you know, what a great all-around player he is. And that's exactly what you want from a centerman, is, you know, someone who plays a really strong 200-foot game. You know, and also I think the other thing Adam told me was just what a great guy he is, and how resilient, you know, he's going through a lot right now as his mom is battling cancer, but just what a great family they are, and just really good people. So, you know, those are the kind of players that you want in your organization. We've talked so much this last season about environment and culture, and he sounds like a player who's going to, you know, contribute really well in that area. You know, and on the ice as well, of course. Then Cullen Potter, I mean, I got a pretty good chuckle out of that, because it made me feel pretty old. That's someone that I played college against and played against in the Olympics. Jenny Potter, who is Cullen Potter's mom, four-time Olympian, that her son is being drafted in the NHL. Like, I pretty much felt like a dinosaur at that point. So, but I also thought it was pretty neat, you know, the fact that she was, and I know that I mentioned this in one of my tweets that, you know, Jenny Potter, I mean, to me, in my opinion, she's one of the fastest female hockey players of all time. She was extremely hard to play against, hated playing against her, but she's also, you know, a little bit nasty and had a bit of a mean streak about her game. And, you know, from a lot of the things that I've read about Cullen Potter, you know, he's a reported speed demon. Doesn't surprise me as well. Takes after his mom. And, you know, and can also have a little bit of that nastiness and a little bit of a bite to his game too. So, you know, I'm a big fan of both of those picks. Obviously, you know, it's easy to get excited early on. They'll take time, of course, to develop. But I think that, you know, you have two really promising players and prospects coming up the pipe and obviously at the center position, which is much needed for the Flames.
Should be fun. Looking forward to seeing. We won't see them at training camp, but I am looking forward to seeing how the how it all plays out over the next couple of years for a couple new centers. That's exactly what we all knew the Flames needed to be taken in this year's draft. Get out of here, Mick. We will do it again next week, but good to catch up with you as always. And Godspeed during Stampede, hey?
Yeah, you guys too. Hey, take care.
Megan Mickelson's the color voice of the Calgary Flames, joins us once a week here on Flames Talk. Aaron Vickers, Pat Steinberg along with you. And Mick joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Steinberg and Vickers along with you on this Thursday edition of the program. Thursday, July 3rd. So, Calgary Flames development camp continued Thursday at Winsport. It was the final day of on ice at Winsport. Two players I'm really interested in going into next season when it comes to the pro ranks, outside of Zane Parekh. Because I think Zane Parekh is
the default answer.
He is the default answer, the number one answer. And look, he's just such a likable young man. And he like, honestly, when Zane Parekh becomes an NHLer, I think you're going to see 89 Parekh jerseys all over this city. You probably already are starting to see it, but I just think, like, his personality, his story, his, like, the how engaging he is, plus the way that he plays on the ice. I think that we're going to be talking about kind of one of the most popular players we've seen in this market in a long, long time. I think if it all pans out the way that Flames fans hope, like, I think Johnny Gaudreau, like, level of popularity is what we could be talking about with Zane. But We'll maybe not talk about Zane for a second. But the two guys that I'm really interested in, because they are, at the very least, the organization's hoping they take the step to pro next year, Etienne Morin on the back end and Andrew Bacha up front. Both 05 birth years. Axel Hertig as well, the Calgary Hitman, is an 05, so he's eligible to go pro next year. He would also be a CHL overager. But Bacha, second-round pick. Morin, second-round pick in 24 and 23, respectively, and now have this opportunity to become American Leaguers for the first time. And that means that we're really, if they take that step properly, Vix, it then means that they're not that far off from being, like, legit NHL right. options. Like, it's not out of the question that if Andrew Bacha, for instance, takes the step that you're hoping he takes as an organization, that, you know, maybe this year he can play NHL games, but summer training camp of 2026, like, you're probably talking about, hey, can Andrew Bacha be a guy that makes the roster as a winger in for the 26-27 season? And those are things that I think are really exciting. And so those are guys that I'm two players that I'm really intrigued in watching come training camp. And again, development camp, you're not going to get as you're not really going to get a read on where they are and all those types of things. Like, Morin has only just started skating again after playing in the Memorial Cup with Moncton, right? But, and same with Bacha. He's only just started.
Right. They both were in the Memorial Cup.
The Memorial Cup. So, you know, you're not going to be able to glean or evaluate with what you saw at development camp, but come training camp, you will. And I'm really interested to see what that what that step looks like for them.
Well, and for Morin in particular, I'll start there. This is a defenseman that had 58 points in 62 games in the regular season and went just slightly above a point per game in the playoffs for Moncton. As you mentioned, QMJHL title and a Memorial Cup appearance. Now, what has me most intrigued is the fact that he's a left-shot defenseman, not a right. We know what kind of glut the Calgary Flames do have in their prospect pool in terms of right-shot defensemen and what they have in the NHL in terms of defensemen that shoot right. But Morin is one of those players that I think the Flames are curious to see how he takes steps moving forward, knowing that, okay, your two primary left-shot defense prospects are probably Soloviev and Kuznetsov. And there's a little bit of an age gap when you start to factor in Morin as well, but also plays a little bit different a game where probably more of a two-way defenseman, maybe a little bit more offensively inclined. So what do the Calgary Flames have in Morin? That's where I'm intrigued, is the fact that you've got a left-shot defenseman who was a second-round pick potentially graduating to the pro ranks. And then you look at Basha and go, yeah, I can see a quicker, clearer path for him to play NHL games, because from my perspective and in scouting him and seeing him play, I don't think there'd be a hesitation in starting him in a bottom six role and letting him graduate as he gets older, sort of the same way you looked at Andrew Mangiapane a bit. But he's also got some high-end offensive ability. His draft year, he had 85 points in 63 games. Like, that is not a subtle point total.
And you know what's really interesting about Basha? We're about to hear from him.
Right.
I really enjoyed the chat I had with him on Wednesday at Winsport after his first on-ice session at development camp. Such an interesting player to me, because he believes, and you can understand why, he believes that the last 18 months is not the Andrew Basha that you should be expecting. It was January of 2024 when the ankle injury...
Second half of his draft year.
Yeah, the second half of his draft year, when the ankle injury really started to bother him. And at first he thought it maybe wasn't a big deal, and it wasn't until December of the coming year, so December of 2024, so almost a full year, when he got the imaging and they realized it was really a serious ankle injury. Then he gets shut down until the Western Hockey League Championship, returns to the Medicine Hat lineup, and is a point-per-game guy, helps them win the championship and get them to the Memorial Cup.
Nice little boost to get back during your playoff push.
Well, and he's going to talk about that. Still 29 points in 23 games, despite the fact he was never even close to 100%, never could skate properly. I just wonder, like, now that he is back at full strength, and now that he's going to get a full summer of being at full strength with the added motivation of turning pro next year, very likely, what if Andrew Basha is one of the steals of the 2024 NHL draft? I know what Willie Desjardins, the head coach in Medicine Hat, has said about that. I know what other scouts have said about that. Like, hey, if this guy is able to return to the trajectory he was on, you know, when he had the 85 points, this guy could be one of the absolute home run second round picks of 2024. So he intrigues me in such a large way going into this season.
Well, there's no real doubting the skill profile that he has as a winger. And there's very little doubt in his compete and his desire and his willingness to play 100%, you know, give it all that he's got. The only thing that's really sort of limited him, as you mentioned, over the past calendar year plus, was that injury. So what happens when he gets back to 100%? What happens when he has a summer of full training? And what happens when he doesn't have to worry about what his ankle's doing when he's out there on the ice?
I had a chance to chat with Andrew Basha, second round pick of the Flames at the 2024 NHL draft, a Western Hockey League champion with the Medicine Hat Tigers, and very likely done his junior career, making the step now to the Calgary Wranglers for next season. Andrew Basha had a chance to chat with him on Wednesday at Winsport after development camp. Let's take a listen in.
Take us through this past season for you. It was a whirlwind. It was a lot of up and down. It was... Geez, there was a lot that you went through. How do you look back on this past season for yourself?
Definitely a strange one. I think, you know, right from the start, well, I guess it started in January of my draft year is when it kind of all started. And, you know, from there on, it was kind of, just keep grinding away at it and kind of try and push it to the back of my mind. But when I came back from camp back to Medicine Hat. It just wasn't doing its thing properly. So ended up getting the full imaging and stuff, and turns out it was a pretty bad injury. And few months of some really hard rehab and stuff. And I'm really glad that I worked as hard as I did to get back. And obviously, I had a pretty short runway when I played there, and it was tough to kind of get my time and my routes back. But I thought overall I was happy with how I was able to come back and come back earlier than expected, and just contribute to Western League Championship. So
it was bothering you or affecting you for essentially a year then, hey?
It was, yeah. It felt like I was I lost pretty much all my power in my left leg from it. So it was, it was a grind. So
and just before we hit record, you're finally back skating normally, and it's feeling good now.
Yeah,
eh?
It's starting to feel like it did before, so it's a relief for sure.
That's huge.
Yeah.
What about coming back? I mean, you get to you go through all of those hard months, and then you get to come back and play at the most important time of year. How energizing is that for a hockey player to get back after all that work and to get back right as your team is pushing for a title?
Yeah, it was. That's the stuff that you. I don't even know if words can describe how jammed you are to get out there, and that's. I'm thinking about that moment, every few minutes when I'm in bed with my foot up in recovery. So when we came out and you saw the lights in Med Hat, it was just like, oh my goodness. So it was kind of a fairy tale start there for myself with that quick goal. And, it was so good and such a good feeling to just be back with, all my buddies. And, some of those guys have been playing with a while there in Medicine Hat, so. Lifting the trophy together was awesome, and it was just the most exciting time, probably some of the best hockey, or most fun hockey I've played. So
did you talk about how you're envisioning that moment while you're going through all those frustrating days and weeks? Did it live up to the hype that you were envisioning?
Yeah, I think it that probably exceeded my expectations a little bit. I think you relay maybe 1,000 different goals that I would have scored in that game, but that quick of a start, and definitely had been thinking about my celebration for a while before, so it's good.
What was the actual adjustment like to have not played since late December and then jump into a playoff game that deep into the postseason?
Yeah, well, I think I think the hardest part is just really. Being back to trusting that you're healed, especially with my timeline, it was like way in advance than what everyone expected. So, it was definitely hard to, I really had to just kind of really put, I knew that how good the Flames doctors and trainers, are, and they're such, first class in that line of business. And, I really just had to trust their, that I am good, and trust myself, and know my body, listen to it, and but other than that, I think the timing. I think obviously it's a quick pace to step into. I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare, and so maybe the lungs are feeling it as well, and the legs. But I thought overall I was really happy with it. I think if I look back on this year, I think. I think if I don't get hurt, everything goes differently. I'm a believer that everything happens for a reason. And, what I learned over this past winter was very valuable for me. And I think maybe even more valuable, with the goals that I have coming into next year. So.
It's funny you think about it like that, like everything happens for a reason. I mean, how long the grind of four rounds of the Western Hockey League playoffs are, and then all of a sudden Med Hat gets you and Caden back right around the same time. It's two pretty important players. You get back and they're fresh and they haven't gone through the grind. Like maybe that is exactly it. Everything happens for a reason, right?
Yeah, no, I think I've always been a believer in that, and I think it's with everything you do, everything. I don't know. That's just the way I go about it.
Yeah.
You got to play the cards you've been given and you've been dealt. So I've certainly learned a lot. Obviously, some long, lonely, nights, and you're kind of just trapped in your thoughts for a while there. But I'm really proud of myself for the way that I came back and how hard I worked. So
all worth it to raise that trophy too.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Certainly. Yeah, for sure.
The Memorial Cup experience. I know it didn't go the way as a group you wanted, but to be a part of that event, how do you look back on it? What do you take from it?
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, I think being you know, with a team that you just won a championship with, and being on another road trip is a lot of fun. You know, I feel like once you lift that trophy, like you said, together, it's, you know, you're kind of intertwined for life in a way. So it was a lot of fun just being on the road and hotels and stuff for that long. And, you know, we got off to a really great start in the round robin 3-0. And I think ultimately that might have, you know, kind of screwed us. I think maybe we let our foot off the gas a bit too much. And London came back obviously very hungry to beat us. So overall, it was a great experience. I was very just grateful to, you know, to be there. I knew that I had earned it, but I definitely had to pinch myself at times. And, you know, I think just with how quick everything happened, I wasn't even really thinking about, you know, looking back on it, I'm not, you know, being hard on myself or anything about the way I played. You know, that's the best I could do. I think, obviously you wish, you know, you could, you know, you go in and lead the tournament in points right away, but a lot of times that might not be very realistic when, you know, with that short of a runway. But I was really happy with how everything went, and obviously disappointed with the loss. So
you get to go to the Memorial Cup. You get to win a championship with the Tigers and, you know, very likely making the jump to pro hockey next season. You ever think back about how important it was to finish your junior career the way that you did, and just to kind of get that last run with your teammates and your friends?
100%. You know, I think that was the thing, was like when I first was told I was, you know, doing the surgery, and, you know, they told me I was for sure done in Medicine Hat, probably. I was kind of just, it was shocking because, like you said, those are some of my closest friends, and, you know, playing with them for so long, it was, it just wasn't really going to work for me to be done. So I told them all, the day before I left, or the right before I left after our team meeting, I told every single guy on the team that I'm going to be back, and just ask them to do a job, and I'll do my job. And, you know, I think I was able to be vulnerable with them, and, you know, we were always kept in contact. I always went whenever I could, even if it was for a day or on the road or something, and stayed close. And, I mean, we all knew it was going to happen, and I always knew in the back of my mind that I was going to end. You know, I think that's, yeah, it was just such a cool experience. So
you probably learn a lot about yourself too when you mm-hmm. go through adversity like that.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like everyone, you know, you think you know in a way that you have something in you, maybe more powerful than you think, and I feel like I definitely proved that to myself. So
knowing all that, you look ahead to this season, maybe making that jump to the American League. You hear this development camp. You went through all that you went through last year. Just mentally, hockey-wise, how ready do you feel to make the jump to the next level?
Yeah, I think I'm going to surprise a lot of people. You know, I don't think I think, you know, that's the way I look at it. I'm going to be ready to, you know, do my thing, and I'm excited to do that. So
when you say you're going to surprise a lot of people, is because you've been dealing with an ankle injury for the last, I mean, essentially it's affected you for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
We haven't seen the best of Andrew Bashaw yet?
No, I don't think so. I definitely think things would have gone differently if that hadn't have happened. And but I'm super happy it did, because, you know, like I said, I've, you know, had such great times around such great people this year with everything and stuff. So but definitely, I think, I'm really excited to show people. So
what does the rest of the summer look like as you get ready to make that jump? What's going to be important the rest of the summertime for you?
Yeah, just keep doing my thing, keep working really hard, keep being a dog in the bowl in the gym and stuff, and just having fun. Resting up is obviously a bit of a shorter summer, but
yep.
I'm itching already, so I'm excited. So
good development camp so far?
Yeah, lots of fun. It's awesome always.
A little less wide-eyed than last year, hey?
Yeah, definitely. I feel a little more more chill at this one, so it's good. Not on my feet, on my toes so much. So
congratulations on the season and coming back from all you came back from. And good luck this summer. Good luck next year. Thanks
appreciate
for doing this.
That. Yeah, thank you.
That is Andrew Bascha. I had a chance to chat with him on Wednesday at development camp, and just love hearing a guy say that, yeah, you haven't seen the best of me yet. Like, it's always good to hear that type of stuff from a guy who's coming back from, as you heard there, all that he came back from.
This was right around that same time, but I think I'm going to surprise a lot of people is the quote that I kind of pulled out or gravitated towards. And you like that confidence, you like that swagger, but you also like the awareness of, I haven't been at my best recently because of this injury. Now watch what I do.
So Andrew Bascha joined us from development camp at Winsport on Wednesday, as development camp on the ice anyway, all wrapped up for a couple days at Winsport. Another year in the books for the Calgary Flames. It's Pat Steinberg, Aaron Vickers along with you. This is the Sports Drive. It's brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe with wireless keypad solutions, so you can control access to your home wherever you are. For more information, visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.